everyone, and welcome to episode 105 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh.
Woo!
Dan's here, Dan, our studio audience.
Apparently Dan's on the studio audience tonight, and we got some stuff to talk about.
We're in the Dan Turner Memorial Studio.
Is that right?
Yeah!
Memorial?
Yeah.
No, that's
Dan. He died in that dream I had.
Oh, that's right. I also had that dream.
We'll never forget you, Dan.
I wish Dan was here.
Rest in peace, Dan.
Ripped, rid, rest in Dan.
Zane did do the sign of the cross, you guys. You didn't see it, but she legit.
Did I do it right? Correctly?
It's north, south, west, east.
It depends on if you're Protestant or Catholic.
Oh, God.
Protestant, Catholics do.
We didn't
do north, that. South, west,
west east.
East.
Yeah.
Protestants do north, south, east, west.
I did east, right? West.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a Protestant now.
I guess
does
you're
that
a...
count as like a conversion?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No, you have to give a lot more money to take a lot more classes.
So people can buy jets, right?
Yeah, those
yes.
Old dudes.
Like that guy. Like that preach dude. Man who wants to buy the Falcon 7. Have you seen that, Josh?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. Did you actually watch the video?
I watched some of it, and then I had to
stop. I didn't watch the video.
I watched the whole thing.
I saw the part where he says he gets more done when he talks with God up in the sky.
Yeah, because if he
takes a commercial jet, he can't do that.
Well, what he said was he has his own, and I will quote here, fuel farm.
Gasoline.
That gasoline.
Way he doesn't have to pay, and I'm pretty sure I'm quoting here. I'm not 100% sure. He doesn't have to pay foreigner taxes for gas.
Right.
Because he has his own
jet fuel.
Fuel farm. No. Fuel farm.
What the
not
fuck
like,
does that mean?
That means...
It's across the way from the desert from the bullet farmer.
The bullet farm! The head of the bullet farm! Pretty much. I mean, it means that, like, he has his own oil field.
Refinery, yeah.
And that if he owns a jet that can get to one place in the world in one hop, he can continue to dupe fucking morons
yeah,
into giving him fucking money.
Spread
by the way,
flies
guys, if
everywhere.
You love the show... Please contribute. And
I'm
trying to
Patreon.
I feel like this is a good time to bring up. I'm trying to buy a Falcon 8. They're not even out yet.
Yeah. Well, let's
suborbital.
Listen, if we had the money,
yeah,
we
would.
Could, you know, get our message of books and trolling
mm-hmm.
without
trolling.
Stop. We could get right around Potomatic, and
yeah, we don't need them anymore.
Yeah,
we're free.
We're free. Fuck you, Podomatic, you shit.
As long as you listeners give us $54 million, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus.
Praise him,
praise
capital
Jesus.
H.
Praise him.
I guess Book Jesus is just Jesus Jesus.
Registered trademark.
Book Jesus would be regular Jesus.
Cracking the Spine, episode 105. Praise Jesus.
All right,
This is getting praiseworthy.
Oh,
praise
God,
him. Praise him.
Jeez, he's flicking out his shirt like he's excited.
Ha! I'm full of the Holy Spirit. He's coming all over me.
Did you ever go to like one of those churches where they do that shit?
I went to a Baptist like choir revival with my daughter a couple of years ago, but it was in a library. Like it wasn't a whole thing.
I went to a crazy person church once.
What was that like?
It was crazy. People were talking in tongues, and I was like, "This is fucking insane."
Where did you do that?
There was one in Quakertown.
In Pennsylvania, that happened?
In Pennsylvania.
You need to be louder.
In Pennsylvania.
I don't shout, but.
So, it was nuts, and I went, and I was like, well, that was a thing I did once. We don't have to do that ever again.
Did you go because you went with a girl that you
I
were
did.
Trying to kiss?
Yes.
Like, with
That's,
your face?
With my face on her
Ew,
face.
Face kissing?
And well, like there was other parts kissing,
like your
too.
Waist, like your waist face?
Yeah.
Waist face.
Yeah, like the face that you have around
waist
your waist.
Waist face sounds like a Garbage Pail Kid.
It does. It probably is a Garbage Pail Kid, actually. It probably 100% is one.
What's the other one? Because every Garbage Pail Kid has like a... Like, it's waist face, but there's also like the same picture, but it's a different name.
Yeah, they like switch him up.
Like Stony Sean or...
Stony Sean is a... Terrible Garbage Pail Kid.
That's a dumb one.
Oh, all right.
That was a dumb one.
Zane, what are you reading?
I am reading Amber Lowe. Oh, I can't remember the name, and I don't.
Oh,
know
I'll get your
one.
Book for you.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's Amber Lowe by Laura Elena Donnelly.
Okay,
so lots of names.
I'm looking at the cover art right now. It is a gorgeous,
it's gorgeous.
Art Deco.
It's gorgeous.
Like. Fire and flame thing going on here.
Yeah, And it was actually, I went into, I had time to kill and I, whoops, went into a bookstore and tried to put time in a bookstore and I walked out with like 5 books because, you know. But I was standing in like the fantasy and horror section and a store employee wandered over and asked me if I needed any help or if I needed book recommendations. You and said, I never
get away from
this.
Me, butthole.
No, I never do this, but I was like, actually, sure. Sweet. I would love to hear some book recs. And it was I actually was thinking,
what the fuck?
Maybe that'll show up. Dan just knocked everything in the kitchen over.
The whole world just ended.
But I was actually thinking about how I so often get book recommendations from you, Sean, and it was very interesting to get it was very interesting to get book recommendations from someone who wasn't you and someone who like didn't have your taste or like my taste.
That's right.
You
know? Yeah.
A dancer, huh? All right. I'm
so anyway, he was really great and he gave me a bunch of recommendations and this was one of them. And it's kind of, I just started it. I'm not very far in, but it's like, it's fantasy, but it's set in this like art deco, like kind of
like
30s. Yeah, and it's like, but it's not. It's like a, it's a fantasy world. Like there's a
baby, baby. It looks like it's gonna hail.
Is it like BioShock?
Yeah, it is kind of BioShocky, and I think it's like, I think it's gonna get more fantasy-ish. But right now, it's kind of like noir.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
It's very cool. I'm hoping that it turns out to be really good. It's
and I was just looking at it, and it's published by Tor. Yeah. And Tor does some really good shit. Tor does The Armored Saint, which I've been big on, by Mike Cole.
For the past couple of weeks. This book.
The Armored Saint?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I feel like it's... everybody who listens to the show that loves fantasy should read it.
I went into the aisle of a Target, the book aisle, to look for a copy of...
How'd that go?
Like, terrible.
Let's look for a copy of
it. It just made me cry. Of the book that you lent me, because I'm going to give your book back and get my own copy of it, so I can give you your book back.
Okay.
And they didn't have anything except sad people books, like my mom would read, or some bullshit books about, like, fucking how to, like, jerk your husband off or whatever the fuck. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
They sell that in Target?
Yeah. Did you pick one up?
I know how to jerk my husband off, Sean. All right. I don't need a book to tell me how to do that. You do it with your mouth.
Cool. Josh, what are you reading?
The book aisle at Target.
How to jerk your husband off from Target.
Mm-hmm.
Was it on sale?
I mean, I stole it. I deserved it. It's mine now. Yeah. I've worked hard for
it. If anyone needs that advice, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sean, what are you reading?
I am still slogging my way through A Higher Loyalty by James Comey.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Are you going to finish that?
I think I will. I think that I will.
It's okay if you don't. Seriously.
Yeah.
We already know.
We forgive
you. We know the answer.
The thing is...
He did it!
The thing is, I'm not sure if it's a testament to I have a hard time with nonfiction or... Yeah. He's just a very pedantic writer. Like,
well, he's a lawyer.
He's a cop.
Yeah,
he's a cop.
He's a cop lawyer.
Like, and the problem, like, the issue is he's been in meetings with a lot of really important people about a lot of important things.
Yeah, like, but you don't, like, live your life to that point that way by being a super interesting guy. You know what I mean? Like, you go to those meetings and you're there to, like, sit there and just do your job. You're not there to be, like... telling stories and shit.
I guess,
you know?
That's why some of these books are co-authored. Like,
yeah.
It's James Comey with, you know...
Baines Bomey.
No, but like someone that like...
Weird.
Like a ghostwriter.
That would at least massage his stories.
What are they massaging?
Did he read that book too that I just got?
No.
He should. Maybe he wouldn't have been fired.
It sounds like everyone could read that book.
So anyway, I've been a bit bogged down, so I decided today to use my library card and go to the
library. We had a show about this.
I think he's trying to signal you to do klaxons.
No, oh, here?
No.
Yeah.
He knows the klaxon
library.
Signal. No, that's not the klaxon. No. Nope. That's a foghorn. That's not a thing. That's
a thing.
Not sure what that is, but that's not what I was looking
it's
for.
A bird.
Anyway, you checked out. The new Stephen King. Have you guys heard of him? He's from Maine. He's
what is the new Stephen King?
No.
It's called The Outsider.
The Outsiders? That's not by Stephen King.
No, not The Outsiders.
That's by a lady named.
It literally came out last week or the week before. And because it's Stephen King, it's like 700 pages long.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's about, if I read the flyleaf correctly, which it's not that hard to do, it's about, there's a murder of a little kid in a small town.
This sounds like Stephen King. Is it in New England?
No, it's in Oklahoma. And
that's not in New England.
There's
an old England.
All the evidence, like, there's a ton of evidence that points to one guy that does it, but that guy has an ironclad alibi. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a ghost.
It's The Prestige. It's his twin brother. I watched The Prestige.
So I'm like 50 pages in, and my God, this man can write. Like,
still,
dude,
I'm kidding. I'm
seriously
kidding.
No, seriously, that's the thing.
Like, you love him. I never liked him that much. My mom also loves him, not as a person, but as an author man.
What have you read of Stephen King?
Nothing.
Well, then it's hard to say. It's hard.
I'm sorry.
I don't like his.
No, Zane, it's a fair question.
No, this is and it's
ask
a fair
it
assessment.
To be an asshole.
No, it's a fair assessment. I don't, and maybe I would like him, but I don't like. Like his creepy, it just—it's like
his brand of creepy.
It's just like weird, and like sometimes I feel like
that's,
it's like
that's not a thing that you get to say if you haven't read it.
But I know like the stories, like I know like I mean he's a fucking icon. Like I know the shit that happens in his books. I know about it. I know about like all the fucking other bullshit. Like what's that one where it's like the devil or the stand or whatever the fuck.
Is that the stand? I want to take a hammer to your tiny little head because
whoa,
tiny. Speaking of not tiny heads.
But he's allowed to have stuff that he's not interested in.
Yeah, I'm
that's
allowed
to. That doesn't appeal to him.
That's fine.
But that's basically
what
he's saying. That is what
no,
he's
saying. No, what he's
saying
is I know what it is and I'm not going to read it.
I mean, I would read it, but I don't think I would like it. And maybe that's
fair.
That's all I'm saying.
I'll give you that.
That's
okay.
All I'm saying. I'm not saying like it's bad. I don't think it's bad. I just don't like his like brand of creepy. It's like
I'm on Goodreads and Goodreads sends me emails every like the beginning of every month that says, here are books coming out from authors that you've read.
Mm.
And I was like looking
like
at
all
last
the
month and one of them was Stephen King and it was like The Outsider. I was like, oh, I'm gonna put that on my to read list. Because I'm assuming that because
your TR list
he's old like it could be a 300-page novel. No, dude, it's fucking 700
pages. All he
pages.
Does is sit there and write. He's and tweet all day. He tweets constantly. Tweets at his son. Tweets at the president.
He hates the president.
Well, I mean, everyone hates the president. If you don't hate the president, you're probably listening to the wrong show. You're looking for the German finance
podcast
to how to launder your money.
Ich bin nach Blütens. Derpin. I got nothing.
I did correct you today, though, about your German. It's terrible. You said the wrong quote.
What did he do?
He said the wrong quote.
No, I tried to do the thing from Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I'm going to fix that.
As a subject of...
Oh, is that what you guys were doing?
Yeah, we'll bring it back when we come in, because it's pertinent to the topic that we're talking about.
Are we taking a break now?
In a minute.
Episode 105. I'm Zane.
Oh, I'm next. I'm Josh.
Hey, it's Sean.
It's your boy, Sean.
It's your boy.
It's your boy. What are we talking about today?
Well, tonight we were discussing a topic that came up from a really one of our favorite people.
Who? I got so many.
We have it's one of our most loyal and dedicated listeners.
Jads.
Is it you?
Is it your wife?
No, it's one of the best people about it's me. It was me. It was my idea.
Oh, it's Sean.
It was my idea.
Well, this is a good topic. Great job.
Thank you. And I thought we'd talk about the best openings of books or opening sentences or opening paragraphs.
Yeah, I think paragraph. I would say paragraph because like some of them
Zane
are
just
paragraphs.
Fucking rolled her eyes like she
yeah,
wasn't
Zane.
Prepared.
Have you been here?
I was like, oh, there's so many good opening. Like paragraphs are opening like a start to a book, but Sean said best first lines, and if I bring in a fucking paragraph, Sean's going to be really pedantic and be like, oh, it's more than one sentence.
Here's my trick with Sean. When I think that, I just turn it off and say, I don't care. I just don't care.
Everything you guys just said about me is not fair, because,
insert audience laughter.
No. Now I feel like super unprepared because there are a bunch of like opening passages that I wanted to.
I would say that counts. I mean, this is part of the discussion. This is definitely part of the discussion.
Shit. No,
it definitely counts.
I
thought you were going to like be like really like, I thought you were going to be like the best opening line.
Based on what?
The topic that you gave me, which was the best opening line. And I was like, if I do an opening passage.
I specifically said in the fucking text message.
Is this what it's like to be
line
you on
or
the show?
Yes, I feel like
you right now, Zane.
I still feel like me.
Jesus Christ.
No, I mean, opening paragraph definitely is also part of it.
I thought so, too. Should we table it for another night?
No, we're here. We're going.
No.
Zane's just going to have to, like, we're going.
All right, then, you know what, guys? It's going to be a two-part episode.
No.
And that's not, no, Zane, it's not a dig. It's not a knock. Because there's a lot of stuff that I left on the table tonight, too, because I thought that, I did some,
holy shit.
I did
what
did some
you
research.
Do?
I did some research. I did not mean for this to be a fucking homework assignment.
No, she's saying she okay.
No, I know what she's point? I know what she's yeah. saying. She's saying that she thought that I meant she has to come up with the opening sentence.
Right.
And she found some paragraphs that she threw away.
I didn't throw them away. I just didn't write them down, which means that I can't read them tonight.
They're still in the books. Like, she can throw away
all the books. That's what I'm saying. I think we can make this a two-parter.
No.
Because there's some stuff that I left on the table. Dude, it's not...
Also, I asked you before we started recording if passages counted, and you were like, oh, we'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
He's creating, like, a situation here.
I know.
He's, like, being a show guy. He's, like, being a show guy right now.
Means nothing.
He's like doing like a whole thing. He's like the guy from Million Dollar, what is it, the Indian movie with the kid, and he writes the answer on the mirror, but it's the wrong answer. Slumdog Millionaire. Thank you, Dan. Audience, Dan.
Jaiwala. I think there are some great books that opened with a singular sentence.
Yes.
I think that next week we will dive into expanded a bit beyond
unnecessary.
That.
We're going to have a different topic, I'm telling now.
We super are.
We're just going to let Zane...
Oh my god, you guys are already over this, and I'm like, I feel really bad.
I'm really frustrated, because the one that I really want to read a passage from is sitting across the room from me
Go get it.
I mean, there's a whole...
No, seriously,
thing.
For real, go get it.
Now I got to get
no,
it.
No, you don't.
No, it's fine, it's fine. Because I wrote some down that...
I mean, I didn't write down the passages. I wrote down the books, and I was going to paraphrase.
Is that right? Did you?
I wrote some stuff down.
Zane, you're across the room. Josh did research.
I know.
But you also said I could do movies, and that got me really excited.
All right.
Yeah.
So, who's going first? And do you want to talk?
You are.
I guess we should talk about, like, there's a part of me that thinks, there's great novels that have great starting points, and there's also great starting points that don't necessarily lead to great novels.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, like, for example, one of the ones I came across was Machine Man by Max Barry,
mm-hmm.
Which was originally written as a...
Black Sabbath song called Iron Man.
Nope. It was an online... writing challenge that he started in 2011.
Okay.
Where he would write a page a day on a wiki. Yeah. And if you subscribe to it, like, you'd read the page. And then when he was finished, he wrote the whole book. And the opening sentence was, as a boy, I wanted to be a train. Which, right? Like, if you...
That's great.
If you read that novel, you would know how great that line is. As a boy, I wanted to be a train.
Right.
Like, not a train engineer.
A train. Yeah, I wanted to be a dinosaur.
And?
I turned into one. I'm old as hell now.
Yay! Nice.
I'm an old man. I just had.
Oh, did you want me to go now? I'm sorry.
No, there's no go now.
Josh was going.
No, I was thinking about this a lot, and I was like, man. I mean, there's some like books like that I've read. Like, I always like think of like the big ones. Like, I thought of Slaughterhouse 5, which starts out weirdly. I don't remember what he says. So you have to look it up. But that whole book is kind of like a first line.
All this happened more or less.
That's what it is. Yes. And, like, that's, like, that whole book.
In fairness, Zane has a...
Zane has a photographic memory.
In fairness, Zane has a photographic memory.
Zane has a pornographic memory.
That she can control too. F.
And then I thought of the one, right? The one, the big one, is the... It was the best of times, it was the worst
of
times.
Worst of times. Oh, worst
and I,
of times.
And I hate Dickens, but I recognize that as being, like... pretty relevant, like, all through all time. Yeah. Like, that is an all-time quote.
Yeah.
So to me,
even though it goes on for, like, 72 minutes, that fucking line.
To me, the opening sentence in English literature is, call me Ishmael.
Yeah.
But, kind of relevant to sentence or passage, what I like about It Was the Best of Times, It Was the Worst of Times, is that whole paragraph.
It's so long.
That whole passage. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, it was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness.
What is that called? Oxymorons. There's all these oxymorons, right? Is that what they're called? When it's like...
Wait, keep going, Zane. I don't know the paragraph.
It goes on.
It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity, it was the season of light, it was the season of darkness, it was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair.
Juxtaposition.
Is that what it is?
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything like from like that time period is long because all that people did then was write an insane amount of words in their books and none of it really comes to much. I mean, I don't like British people and their books. I don't like British literature. And like Call Me Ishmael, it's like, yeah, cool. Like, cool.
That's American. It's American literature.
Is that Herman Melville? He's not British?
No.
Are you sure? Are we sure about this?
Are you asking me if Moby Dick is British or American?
Yeah, it's not British.
It's American.
Anyway, long as fuck talking about boats.
I agree with that.
Might as well be British.
Fair enough.
What's the fucking difference? Maybe I should say this. Victorian writing. But is that also, a better...
Sure. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I went back
of
through...
an era.
Like, I spent a little bit of today going through some of my favorite novels, trying to figure out if...
they had good first lines.
If they had good first lines. Yeah, exactly. And I found one that reminds me a lot of Call Me Ishmael, and it's from...
Is it British?
No, it's not. It's actually Pennsylvanian.
Oh, God, it's going to be terrible.
It's James Morrow. James Morrow, who is a friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
If you go back and listen to the archives, James Morrow was on the show. For Galapagos Regained.
For my time.
Jesus. Act dancing Christ. Did I get either of you to read The Last Witchfinder?
No.
It's the one that's written...
Thanks for including me, though, as if that was a thing.
The point of view... the point of view of the book is the story is told by the book.
Right.
Like, the book is telling you the story. So the opening of that one is... May I speak candidly, fleshling, one rational creature to another, myself a book, and you a reader?
That's cool.
Like, that's a hook.
I do like that.
Like, that gets you in.
Yeah, I like when there's things like that, where, like, the narrator has a voice. I guess, like, that's the author's voice, but not always, because I feel like, with, like, Name of the Wind, like, I don't remember the first line, and I kind of think the Name of the Wind starts out, like, really slow.
No, but the first line in that book is, like, the Waystone Inn was silent, and it was a silence of three parts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I looked it up, and I was like, that does nothing for me.
It doesn't do anything for me either, because it's, like, I know it's a fantasy novel, and it's an inn, and it's kind of, like, I think the strength of that book is that it's, like, a story within a story.
Yeah.
And the first line doesn't, like... Because at that point in the book, I'm not giving anything away, it's not the story within the story.
Right.
It's just, here's the story.
Here's the beginning of this story.
This story, yeah. And that doesn't really do it for me.
But it sounds like, Zane, you were getting ready to go to bat for that as an opening.
I think there's something to be said for how memorable it is. I don't know that it necessarily sets up the novel super duper well, although he does a good job of bringing you back to that theme, like the silence of three parts.
Right.
But I think there's something to be said for the fact that I remember it. Well,
it's musical, right? It's like all, and that whole book is very musical with like rests and like.
I'm kind of with Zane on this one. Like, the silence of three parts doesn't speak to me of what that book is about.
I think it starts to speak to me more like towards the end of the book and into the second book.
Yeah.
Like, I start to fully understand. But like, I do remember the first time I picked that book up, it took me a while to be like, okay here we are. Exactly. Here's what we're doing.
That's exactly
it. There wasn't necessarily a good hook. However, it is a very memorable first line, which I think is, you know, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how, like, I mean, I also like I was thinking about movies and stuff too, and there's so many movies that have like first, like memorable first lines, and most of the ones that I remembered were narrated first lines, so they're more like books. You know what I mean? Oh,
interesting. Like, yeah.
First line in a movie doesn't necessarily have to be like a home run. Like, oh my god, that's a great line.
Right.
But when it is,
it's more book like because it's a narrator generally speaking and saying like Fight Club or like.
Okay,
the movie Fallen.
It's funny you should say that because I actually thought to myself earlier when I was doing my research, like, the opening line of the movie Fight Club is so memorable, which, Josh, is what?
Is people always ask me, how do you know Tyler Durden?
Right.
And I say, he's my brain.
So,
book over, movie.
The actual opening line of Fight Club, the novel, I wrote it down tonight because it occurred to me, I was like, oh, I love Fight Club and I love Chuck Palahniuk's early work. So, you know, the people are always asking me if I know Tyler Durden. Not the opening line of Fight Club. The opening line of Fight Club is the novel, Tyler gets me a job as a waiter. After that, Tyler's pushing a gun in my mouth and saying, the first step to eternal life is you have to die.
Yeah.
And it's basically the same thing.
It's like, the same thing, yeah. In the movie, I don't remember. It's actually been quite a while since I've seen all of Fight Club. Does he have the gun in his mouth in the beginning? Is that how it starts?
Yes, it opens.
It's like that, And that was like a big deal in like the 90s, like that whole like returning to like the end, like the circle movie, the reveal. Like,
yeah,
right.
And that, I was going to say Fallen is that way too. The movie Fallen is Denzel Washington talking as the narrator and he says, I want to tell you a story about the time I almost died. And at the end of the movie, he does die. But it's a demon talking as him,
okay.
So it's kind of like, oh, well, it's like kind of like a thing, like a twist. Like, this was like in the time of like twist endings, right? And it just always stuck with me. Like, and that movie is like not very good.
Well, and there's that bit at the end of Fight Club where he goes, I can't remember what I was going to say, and he goes, callback humor, very good, because it references the beginning of the movie.
Right.
Also, Chuck Palahniuk, I think we've talked about it on the show, Chuck Palahniuk has said on many occasions that
the movie's better than his book.
The end of the movie is better than the end of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that the adaptation is so good that sometimes when you go back and you read Fight Club, the novel, which is a very good novel, sometimes you're like, I thought I remembered it being a better, remembering how good the adaptation is.
And you can't read that novel without hearing it in Edward Norton's voice.
Yes.
And hearing Tyler as Brad Pitt.
The laugh. Like, it was just... when he's like getting the shit kicked out of him.
You don't know where I've been, Lou!
You don't know where I've been, Lou! But I did, in my research tonight, discover that... maybe he's my favorite author, or maybe he's the best opening author of novels.
Who?
Neal Stephenson.
You love him, so yes.
Fucking love Neal Stephenson.
To both. I mean, I knew this.
Okay, so we can start with Seven Eves, one of his most recent ones, which is one of the most simple sentences ever. The moon blew up without warning and for no apparent reason. Like that's
you're already there.
That assumes seven chapters of other science fiction novel. Like, the moon exploded.
It's perfect science fiction, and like we always talk about science fiction trying too hard to like legitimize itself within itself right. by like having like too much shit to talk about. And it's like, it's just the world. This is just what happened.
This is what happened. And the novel is about how it is dealt with.
Yeah. How does Read Me start? I don't remember.
I didn't write it down because, it wasn't a memorable first sentence.
Yeah. Cause I think that starts like that book also is like, he's like at a Thanksgiving Day thing. Yes. And it kind of is like a train. It's like, here we go. Like a train takes a little while to get going, you know? Yeah. And like, I feel like most books are like that. I don't think a lot of books like crack you over the head right away.
But the first novel of his that I read, Neal Stephenson, that is, was Cryptonomicon, which was written in 1999, or at least published in 1999.
That's about the haunted book that Superman hates.
It's not about that at all.
Somebody's gonna like that joke.
But this is the opening sentence. After the prologue, there's a prologue. And a couple of
prologues don't count, Zane.
A couple of first sentences that I wrote came after prologues.
Don't count, Zane, sorry.
But the first part of this sentence is one that I always think about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Cryptonomicon, Neal Stephenson, 1999, after the prologue. Let's set the existence of God issue aside for a later volume and just stipulate that in some way self-replicating organisms came into existence on this planet and immediately began trying to get rid of each other, either by spamming their environments with rough copies of themselves or by more direct means, which hardly need to be belabored.
That's great.
That is great.
Right? Like...
Yeah, it's great.
Like, that's the stipulation of the book.
Is that the book where it's like the computer... In the future. Which one is that?
No, that's it's the one that goes back and forth between like mid-90s internet and World War II.
Oh, wow.
It jumps back and forth in history.
That's crazy. Mid-90s internet. I mean, we downloaded like...
Every once in a while in my head, I will think of, let's set aside the existence of God issue for a later volume. Like...
Yeah, like we'll deal with it later.
We'll deal with that shit later, and let's talk about other things that matter.
Yeah. The reality is, No, I like that. That's cool.
And the other one I wrote down from Stevenson was, it's the first sentence of the second volume of a trilogy. So imagine the opening scene of Empire Strikes Back, in which you think that the main character has died.
Okay.
And the sentence is, he was not merely awakened, but detonated out of an uncommonly long and repetitive dream.
That's crazy.
It's like, genius. Neal Stephenson.
He's good at what he does.
Give it to me.
Turns out.
Right?
That's why people love his fucking books so much, like this fucking guy over here, not shutting up about his damn books.
Well, I wrote some sentences down, that's all. I thought we were doing show prep.
Oh, boy.
Some of us were, but others were told not to do show prep.
I also have The Man in Black Fled Across the Desert and The Gunslinger.
Yeah, that one. I did see that one, and I was like, that's cool. Yeah.
That is a good one.
And then the movie is terrible.
It's beyond terrible. It's.
I watched it, and I was like... Did you? I was like, what?
I didn't watch it.
When Matthew McConaughey walks past that little girl, and he's like, hey.
Yeah, he's like, hey.
She's like, okay.
Buy a Lincoln. She's like, I need to buy a Lincoln. I'm five.
Yeah, it's...
It's really dumb. It's... First of all, that book, those books, there's like 50 of those books, right? Like,
7, yeah.
Yeah, 50.
That's fine.
And it takes place over, like, the story takes place, like, over 7 books of Stephen King writing, so 7 times 700 is about 49,000 pages.
That's fair.
And the movie is 120 minutes long.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is happening? At one part they like talk about Excalibur, and I was like, I'm assuming that's like in the book. I don't know.
It is. I mean, the guns that do I have to get into it?
No, the guns are made out of like legendary swords, which I was like, that's dope. Just make the movie about that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, we've been saying that for years.
Make the movie about the good parts. Don't make it about the bad parts.
I have another one.
Okay.
Another good sentence to start with.
Okay.
Do you have nothing, Zane?
I have lots. No, that's not true. I have some. I don't have lots.
Give one. I don't want to do all of them.
Okay. It was a pleasure to burn.
That's from the Finch song "What It Is to Burn." No, not even a book.
Fahrenheit 451 by Roger Staubach.
Roger Staubach.
Roger Staubach.
He's freaking stroking out. That's what you get for telling her not to look up stuff.
I was on her side.
Yeah.
What else you got, Zane?
I did read that book.
I actually have never read that book.
It's all right. I don't
know. If you're going to read Bradbury, there's so much other stuff.
If you're going to read Bradbury, just wait for Zane to do it on the fucking podcast.
Yeah,
Well, there's plenty of that tonight, because guess what all of my favorite opening lines are.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, this one is also one of my favorites. This is not Ray Bradbury. This is a test, take notes. That is from my favorite Harlan Ellison story, The Death Bird. Which I love that opening line. That's a good opening passage. Yeah, but it's
test, take notes?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
This was the passage that I wanted to read.
She's got an actual book.
Find it.
Well, the... go ahead.
They still make these things? Well, Jesus. Is it a prologue? Can't be a prologue.
It's not that long. It's 1 minute it was Ohio winter with doors closed, windows locked, the panes blind with frost, icicles fringing every roof, children skiing
like
on
this.
Slopes, housewives lumbering like great black bears and their furs along the icy streets. And then a long wave of warmth crossed the small town, a flooding sea of hot air. It seemed as if someone had left a bakery door open. The heat pulsed among the cottages and bushes and children. The icicles dropped, shattering, to melt. The doors flew open. The windows flew up. The children worked off their wool clothes. The housewives shed their bear disguises. The snow dissolved and showed last summer's ancient green lawns.
I like that.
Woo!
What book is this? This one doesn't have a
this
thing
is,
on it.
That is the... It's, yes, it does. It's The Martian Chronicles, which is my favorite Ray Bradbury.
Did a nuclear bomb go off? Is that why?
Nuclear.
No.
Nuclear.
Nuclear.
That is
nuclear.
The first line of the Library. First story in Martian Chronicles, which is Rocket Summer. And it's about...
A rocket?
A rocket going to Mars.
Right.
Did the rocket melt the snow, or did...
Well, it's about, like, the... Yes, but also it's about, like, the bringing... Yes.
Got it. Why didn't you just say so, Zane?
See if you guys can guess what this one's from. And again, the ability of the author to put the hook in.
How many beginning lines does Moby Dick have?
Locke Lamora's rule of thumb was this.
Oh, I love this opening line.
You being serious or sarcastic?
I'm being serious. Jesus fucking Christ with this guy tonight.
You've been a dick to me all night, so.
Well, congratulations. Now you know what it feels like to be me.
And it'll probably stop.
It feels terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Locke Lamora's rule of thumb was this. A good confidence game took 3 months to plan, 3 weeks to rehearse, and 3 seconds to win or lose the victim's trust forever.
Ocean's 11, the novelization.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of, yeah.
What is it?
Also, past the prologue.
The Lies of Locke Lamora.
I figured, but I didn't think it was going to be that obvious.
And if I may dig a little bit back into the archives of science fiction, one of the best opening sentences ever. The drought had lasted now for 10 million years, and the reign of the terrible lizards had long since ended.
That's from Land Before
Waterworld.
Time.
Nope.
Neither?
Written in 1968. Anyone?
I hate when you do this.
I mean, there's like...
2001, Space Odyssey. It's the opening of 2001.
Sugar Ray.
It's...
The book?
No. It's 2001, Space Odyssey by Arthur C. Clarke.
The book, not the movie.
No, the book, yes, the book.
I recognize the movie as far superior, having never read the book.
They were actually they were written hand in hand.
Oh, they like talked to each other about it, right?
Yeah.
He was obsessed with it.
And Kubrick was obsessed with the idea of basically trying to make a movie about evolution.
Yeah.
And seeing evolution beyond
what we
can think of it.
That's one of the first movies that like fucked my shit up.
Right.
And I was like, how can a movie be like this? Like, I didn't understand. It was like I was watching, like, real stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, because he was trying to do something bigger than whatever fucking Zane's doing.
He's fucking sitting here with us like a doofus. Why are you here with us?
I don't know anymore.
How about, here's the first sentence of a first-time novelist in his first novel.
Okay.
who Zane and I are big fans of.
Oh, yeah?
Jude had a private collection.
I knew it!
Who's that? Hey, Jude.
It's Heart-Shaped Box by Joe Hill. Heart-Shaped Box,
right?
By Nirvana?
No. By Joe Hill.
No.
Oh, it's just other. It's just, it's your other guy. It's your other boy.
Yeah.
Son of.
My boy.
Anybody who signs books for me, they're on the show.
My baby boy.
You give me an autograph, you're on the show, bitches.
Y'all, good talk.
This is a good topic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, we filled up in 40 minutes.
40 hours.
Jesus, it is time for a break.
Feels like 40. Fuck you. Welcome back to episode 104.5. Shit! I'm Josh.
Sean.
I'm Zane.
And that's the best first sentence of the third segment of episode 105 we've ever had.
And
Josh.
I even fucked that up. We forgot a book.
There are the fucked of times. Josh can't speak at times.
That's true. I'm pretty dumb. We found our favorite book, The Aerosmith Autobiography.
It's not a first line, though.
No, it's like the middle of a
It's like
whatever.
The exact middle of the book.
It's like where the book opened.
What is it? What does it say?
It was, we used the attic of the apartment to sell the band's t-shirts.
It's like...
I don't get it.
It's like where the book opened because that's where the color...
Yeah. The pictures
photographs
were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chapter one, dream until your dreams
the
come true.
The band sold t-shirts out of the attic like apartment yeah. or something like that.
I used to read it at Game Revision,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
I used to be like, okay, time for the read it.
Yeah, way to save the show.
I used to be mean.
You did used to be mean, you're right.
I was way nicer to you before.
Before,
when I first knew you, I was way nicer to you. Now
to
it's
me
like,
or to Zane?
I've always been nice to Zane. You?
You're nice to me.
Yeah, but I was nicer to you. Now I kind of like, just I'm like, nice to you, but like, only because I know I don't have to be all the time.
That doesn't sound nice to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, saying.
No, but that hurts my feelings.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, weird conversation.
Okay. Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, we got a really long, awesome email.
What is it? What's it say?
From Ben.
Yeah, about audiobooks.
About audiobooks.
And it's actually so long and involved that I feel like it merits, if not a show unto itself, a segment unto itself.
But I wanted to it was the only email that we got this week, and I wanted to recognize the hard work that went into writing that.
Oh, yeah, Josh, very extensive. Having never read it.
Why don't you send more emails?
Yeah, why don't you send more emails?
Thank you, Ben, for sending the email.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Send more. Also, other people send some, too.
The Josh, email, send the email address. Is crackingthespinepodshow.
Nope.
M-class email.
Nope.
Holy fucking shit, you can remember that one?
I only remember that one because it's wrong. It's M-class email without an S, which is insane. That's the only reason I remember it, because it's stupid as fuck. Jeff.
Wrong show.
Didn't put an S on the end. One email. crackingthespineshow@gmail.com.
There it is.
The Twitter is @crackingspinepod.
At cracking spines.
There it is.
Frick, man. And the Reddit is cracking
the spine pod.
Right.
God damn it. We gotta, like, organize our shit here.
Oh, we were talking about bodice rippers on the Reddit today.
What?
Who was?
I was.
With who?
Mr. People 25.
I have a question about bodice rippers. Maybe this is a topic. Is there butt stuff in them? Do they evolve to butt stuff?
Sometimes there's a little, like, more often than not, it's like, oh no, what has he done?
Oh, kind of butt stuff. Oh, like, oh no, like, don't do that.
Like, he discovered that is a
She's
thing.
She's like,
he
it's
discovered
your choice.
It? It's your choice. Oh no. Not again. I know that they're guilty of, like, the what's that trope? It's like a super racist trope.
Blowjobs?
Yes, blowjobs. No, where it's like the native man like seduces. Oh
yeah,
her.
I mean, there's. Listen.
Yeah.
I assume that's still a genre. Bodice rippers.
Absolutely.
Also, I did a little Googling. And
I bet you did.
Yeah, being a bodice ripper.
And I found out that bodice ripper is considered like pejorative slang for romance novels.
Yes. The people,
I didn't know that.
The people that enjoy those books consider it diminishing to refer to them as such. Like, they think it's...
I call pornos films.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Like, it's their art form. Therefore, sure. How dare you...
I mean, it does take a certain skill set to, like, write about that stuff.
Also, there's nothing wrong with porn marketed towards women. Written by and marketed towards women.
Unless it's, like,
I'm tired of, like, the people who consume it. And the people, like, criticizing it, claiming that what's wrong with it is that it's not good literature.
It's no different than Sonic the Hedgehog having sex with tits.
It's okay to want to read things just because they're titillating. Like, that's okay, and there's no shame in that. And it bothers me that, like, that there are so many different ways to consume pornography geared towards men, but for some reason... romance novels and their ilk are bad because it's not good art.
But there is an audience that really enjoys those novels.
Absolutely.
Regardless of whether or not they're titillated by it, that feel that it is diminishing to refer to it as pornography.
But my point is I think it's the bigger picture is that there, you had to develop like this defensiveness about them,
right? Because
there is so much stigma around women consuming and enjoying anything pornographic.
Have they seen porn?
Well, but that's porn is for men. Romance novels are stupid because women like them.
There's porn for women. It's pretty good.
I feel like that's a topic for next week.
Okay,
talk about porn for women.
This is why, unfortunately, I end up going to bat for, like, fucking Fifty Shades of Grey and shit.
You aren't into hot dudes, fuck?
No, actually.
I think women deserve to unabashedly enjoy
porn. Yeah, I think this is a good topic.
I'm coming down on your side, but a lot of people that read that genre...
Yes, because women can't go, I love porn! Women aren't raised in a culture allows that.
In fairness, I don't know a lot of guys that will jump up and yell, I love porn.
I know a lot of guys who do that.
Okay.
One of them is sitting right next to me.
Which one is it? Which one of us is it?
Is it you that just shouted, I love porn?
Who said that? I have to be shy about it now because it's not 2018 and nobody looks at porn.
I think that we're agreed that the stigma of titillation should be taken away.
Yes.
Think it's exclusive to the bodice ripper genre. I don't think it's exclusive to...
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that you said it.
How are we not doing this in a separate show?
That's what I said!
This is a whole thing.
And I was willing
to
give it up!
Okay, we'll love you.
Goodbye.
Check them out. Books. Check them out. At your library.
Part-time,